Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, January 11th, 2016. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Good morning. I am good.
Awesome. And Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I am great, thanks. I survived CES without getting sick. So I guess that's true. Yeah.
Yes. I think we both sound much better today, now that we're not breathing secondhand air all the time.
That's right. Yeah, I didn't survive unscathed, but I survived without getting sick.
Yeah, and that's, well, it's Vegas, so that's probably pretty good.
That's right.
Yeah, we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is Casper, the awesome mattress company, and we'll be talking about them soon, along with the killer discount they have for you guys. But before we get there, I thought that it would be kind of nice to look back at CES, now that Dave, you and I are back in our offices, and I thought it would be interesting to do this with John, because John, you stayed behind. And your perspective they worked of CES me like is a, from the outside.
They worked me like a slave on the afternoon news desk. They did.
I know. We're horrible.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So my guess is that all of us are going to have a different take on what CES was and what was really popular, because we all have different interests.
Yeah. And John, I said in last week's show, one of last week's TDO shows here, that I was asked the same question by many, many people, both at the conference and people that weren't there, and that was, hey, have you seen anything cool? And the answer is not simple. I mean, the answer is yes, but I need to qualify it by saying, but it depends on what kind of a geek you are, because there's so much going on there. That, yeah, I mean, everybody can find something cool to them. And as to Jeff's point, we all find the things that are cool to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, to amplify on that, Dave, there is so much there. It's so overwhelming that if you take the view that there's too much stuff and you can't deal with all this stuff, and that the manufacturers are creating too much stuff, and there's too much jazz for Internet of Things and all these electronic gadgets, you can become kind of dismayed. And so your point is exactly right. You have to have specific interests and focus on the things that serve you, and then focus in on those, because otherwise you just feel like the industry's out of control.
Yeah.
And the industry's trying to cover a lot of people with a lot of different interests, but no one person can be interested in everything.
No, it's not like, you know, if the only quote unquote large trade show you'd ever gone to was something like a Macworld Expo or something, where you really could sort of, you know, mentally grasp all of the things that were there, at least at some level, and perhaps go deeper with some, then CES would totally throw you for a loop, because you can't see everything. I don't go in with a preconceived notion of what the things are that I'm going to focus on. I mean, I know some of them, mm-hmm. obviously, because I set up meetings, but even that is not, it's not overly intentional, with the exception of I'm following my interests. And I've learned over the years to trust that my interests are something that my audience and listeners follow. And hey, no great surprise, right? It's a self-selecting group. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so it works. Yeah, yeah. And I'm always kind of pleasantly surprised by something. And I think I've got something like that to share in this show, too.
So do I.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, what I noticed, just the overall thing that I noticed, was that a couple categories that previously felt like they were just kind of people throwing products out for the sake of throwing them out matured to a degree. And that would be the health and fitness market. And then while I say mature for home automation, that's in relation to what it was last year. The home automation market is still just a mess and in its infancy. But it felt like companies were starting to really figure out how it is people want to use these products and how to link them together. So I have hope for next year for that space. But in the health and fitness side, a lot of these products that people or companies had been just dumping on the market to say they had fitness in their stable, a lot of those are gone. And in their place, I was seeing companies that were creating products that I felt had real value for users and weren't just gimmicks anymore. And that was a very pleasant surprise.
That makes sense. Yeah. I would agree with that there are things are at some level, things are being refined or ideas are being refined down to
yes.
more than just cool. Now there were plenty of ideas there that were just cool that were in their infancy, especially in like Eureka Park and all that. And that needs to happen too. But yeah, we're evolving, right? You know, and I mean, I talked last week about one of the product categories that I followed at CES this year and will follow for the remainder of the year and probably years after that. And that's routers, right? And more mm-hmm. so than routers, just Wi-Fi in general. You know, we've had enough experience with it in real world scenarios that the standards have actually evolved in order to make things work better without people having to think about it. And that's the beauty of where this goes. It's actually useful to normal people, and that's good.
Whatever became of that router from Amazon, I forget the name of it.
The router from Google, are you talking about?
Google. That's it. Yes,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Sorry.
The one that TP-Link's making for
it. It made a big splash, and then it just seemed to drop off our radars.
Pretty much. Yep.
Yep. There you go.
It's not. It was. Here's something for you, John. Routers were a focus topic for me last week, big time. I met privately with most of the major router manufacturers, and I talked about some of that, you know, on last week's TDO. So I'm not going to overly rehash, but they're doing a lot of cool things that will make it so that you can get coverage in all areas of your house without having to be a geek. Right. I mean, if there's one umbrella concept, that's what it is. And that's a good thing. Your question today about the Google nay Amazon router was the first time it has been brought up in a month for me, let alone in the last week.
Wow.
Giant. It's kind of telling.
Splash and then disappeared in the splash.
Yeah.
You know, another thing that's evolved.
But I did meet with the TP-Link people who are the people that make the OnHub, which is the Google router. And and they were, you know, they're doing some cool things on their own, including they were the only ones that were showing an 802.11ad router, which is 60 gigahertz.
That's the next one after AC, right?
Correct. Yeah. And it like AC, it's, you know, higher bandwidth, shorter range. Because it's higher frequency. I mean, it's mm-hmm. just how that.
How
it's
much
how
short range? Are we talking about 10 feet or?
Yeah, probably not. Given the limitations that we already have to deal with 5 gigahertz, probably not that much different. I you know, it's still basically geared towards one room. You know, but I think, and again, real world tests are going to prove this out, but my guess is right now you can use 5 gigahertz through walls, especially as a back channel, right? You know, you link two routers together or a router and an access point together with 5 gigahertz, and you really can now use that as your back channel. And then if the access point is a dual radio one, which if it has 5 gigahertz, it almost certainly is dual radio, mm-hmm. you use 5 gigahertz only as the back channel and then 2.4 from there to kind of serve that area. And that can work really well. My guess is that with 60 gigahertz, 802.11ad, that won't be possible.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Although I must have thin walls because I'm doing 5 gigahertz everywhere in the house.
Yeah.
And it's working okay.
You can. Yeah, totally. Yeah, and that's the thing is it's not built to go through walls, but it can, and you can get it. If you have it set up right or you're lucky or both, you can get it to actually be faster through walls than 2.4 even. So,
cool.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about you were talking about evolution. one of the things that's different about this year's CES a little bit is the appearance of these cars that are mostly electronic. You know, car technology is coming along a lot. It's virtually a computer on wheels with Wi-Fi hotspots and CarPlay and all sorts of interesting electronics. So one report I saw said that CES was virtually a second auto show for the car manufacturers, or third or fourth or fifth or whatever.
It always is. Or yeah, in the past 5 years anyway.
With the evolution of electronics in cars, that's the big thing to be there. Mm-hmm. I saw that Faraday was displayed. That's an interesting car. I guess a takeoff on Tesla.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Faraday was sort of displayed, right? I mean, Faraday is an interesting company, right? Because they have been sort of, they've been very mysterious. And there was some rumors that I believe have been completely debunked that Apple was in, you know, their secret investor. They were building, right, you know, nobody knew where the money was coming from. It appears it's coming from China. But what they showed was probably not what they'll ever sell. I mean, it was, you know, much too expensive, and it was like this proof of concept thing.
It didn't look like a practical car on any level.
That's the right description. On any level. Yeah.
Yeah, it looked to me like if Batman was having a bad day and he wanted to really soup up the Batmobile, and he came up with that idea, and he's like, I'll build it. And then later on, he's like, I can't take this out on the roads. And then that was the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah. And then that times 10.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, we have more to talk about. But before we do that, I'm totally interrupting us because I really want to talk about our sponsor. And that sponsor is Casper, the mattress company. I have such a newfound appreciation for my mattress because I am a Casper user. I've been getting better sleep, so much better than I did before because I have a Casper mattress. But then last week at CES, I had to sleep on the hotel bed, which was a perfectly fine bed. I mean, there was nothing wrong with it at all, except that it wasn't my Casper mattress. And I just really missed it. And then now that I'm back home and can sleep on my bed, it's just one of those magical things where I climbed in bed and my first thought was, yeah, this is the kind of bed I should be sleeping in all the time. It's wonderful. So what they do is they take these different types of foam and put them together, but instead of making a foam mattress where all you can say is, oh, it's a foam mattress, they make a foam laminate mattress where you're saying, this is the bed I want to sleep in. And for me, that's saying a lot because I'm pretty picky because I have a sleep disorder. But they totally did it right. They absolutely nailed it. I love it. They had a booth set up at one of the events at CES last week, and I went by to say hi and thank them for sponsoring the show, but also because they had a mattress set up so I could lay on it for a few minutes and just and have a small momentary fantasy of being back in my own bed. It was wonderful. It was magical. And they have pillows out, too. I can't wait to try their pillows. They just look awesome. So what you need to do is check these out for yourself because the prices are also crazy good. I have a queen-size mattress. They charge $850 for this. A comparable mattress somewhere else is going to set you back over $1,000 easy. And they have sizes from twin on up to king-size bed. And a king-size is only $950, which is just, I think, insane. But I'm glad that they can make this work. They don't have any showrooms. That makes it easy to keep the prices down. And to get the prices even lower for you, our listeners, what you need to do is go to the special URL that they set up just for TMO Daily Observations. So go to casper.com/TDO. And when you're there, use the discount code TDO, and you'll get yourself $50 off a mattress. Plus, it's shipped to your house for free. They have a 100-day return guarantee thing. It doesn't matter because you're not going to need it. Once you spend the money, you're going to be glad you have the mattress and you'll wish you had bought it sooner. So hit their website, casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO and pick up your mattress and let me know what you think because I love mine. I want to know what you think about yours after you get it. Casper, thank you for being our sponsor today.
Okay, Dave.
Yes.
I have a feeling that you found some more stuff that was interesting.
I did. You know, again, there's the things that I know I'm going to see, and then there's the things that surprise me. And what I was surprised by was USB-C. Now, I wasn't I wasn't surprised to see all manner of USB-C cables and connectors and such there, right? Because it's a it's new to consumer products in a way that matters, right? Apple put it in the MacBook. It's likely coming to our iPhones. I mean, I think it's about time we all have enough lightning cables now that we're not worried about it. So I think it's time to, you know, to flush those through the system. yep. But, you know, here and so there's that snarky side of me that says, why would we mess with the lightning cable? It's awesome. It's relatively new. And, you know, it works both ways. It's like it's got all the things that, that we didn't have with the 30-pin connector, and it works really, really well. And maybe Apple won't replace it in the phones. I don't know. However, I saw something with the MacBook specifically this week that really opened my eyes. Actually, I saw several things, but they all gave me the same message. It started on the – actually, the day before the show opened, I was with Lassie. And looking at their at Seagate, which in Lassie is a Seagate company, and looking at their new hard drives, because that's essentially what they make. And they do them in, you know, different things. They've got them wireless and this, that, and the other thing. And one of the things I was looking at was the new Lassie Porsche hard drive. And it's just a it's a hard drive in an external enclosure, and it's a Porsche-designed external enclosure, so it's quite nice. Mm-hmm. And it had two cables coming out of it.
Pass-through power.
Bingo, John. Yeah, John, you stole my thunder. But yeah. Well, but that was the thing, is it was like, okay, so you have this hard drive on your desk and it's got a wall wart that it gets its power from, and then USB-C from the hard drive to the computer, not only passing data, but as John said, passing power. And it was like suddenly I saw this vision of, oh, this replaces the whole concept of a laptop dock. Right? Because you know when you get to your desk, you have to plug in power. But if at the same time you also get your hard drive, now your backups happen. Right? And there's no reason it has to stop there. You now have your external monitor. You have whatever else it is, your gigabit Ethernet connection. Right? All of these things with one connector. And it was immediately obvious how important this was to me. And I know it's been explained to me, and I've heard it. But I always thought, up until then, it was like, yeah, the new MacBook, yeah, it's great. But that USB-C thing, I don't know, you know.
It was the coming out party here for USB-C.
It was. and so I was sold on it that day. 2 days later, I saw something, John, that blew my mind even further. I was at Ventev's booth at, I believe it was Pepcom, but it might have been Showstoppers. But I'm pretty sure it was Pepcom. It doesn't matter. It was one of these evening events that where all these vendors, the hundreds of vendors, have little booths where they show off their stuff to press. It's a massively efficient thing. It's the best thing for us anyway at trade shows. Much more valuable for us than the show floor.
Yes.
But it was one of these events, and I walked up to Ventev's booth, and I know these people. I've seen them, you know, countless times every year. I see them at similar events around the country. And I went up, and I said hello, and I said, what's new? You know, and I'd just seen them a few months ago, and so I didn't necessarily expect anything new, but I always ask. And they're like, oh, yeah, you got to see this stuff. And they showed me, like, their new, you know, they make iPhone, like, lightning cables and iPhone, like, battery packs and that sort of thing. So they were showing me their new models of those, and I had some comments about them, and we talked back and forth. And they're like, now you got to see our USB-C stuff. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, USB-C cables, great. And they do. They have USB-C cables, and they are great. You know, Ventev makes quality stuff. And then they showed me a USB-C battery pack, and it was like, it took my breath away, because suddenly it was like, not only does the new MacBook have decent battery life, you know, you're getting whatever 6 to 10 hours depending on how hard you're using it, but now you can put, you know, a 20,000 milliamp hour battery is not very big. I carry one for my iPhone and iPad
right
when I travel, so to have this for the MacBook, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Now I don't have to go through all these machinations to make a battery pack work for my MacBook. I mean, other companies have done it, but it's a disaster.
I'll have to take my article on the 9 items and add it, make it 10. Send me a link to that.
Yes,
I will.
Yeah. You know, Dave, when you found that battery pack and then told me about it, in that moment, my perception of the MacBook changed completely.
Oh, yeah. Because
at that, up until that point, I looked at the MacBook as a really nice computer and a really great device, but probably not the right tool for me when I'm traveling. And then the battery pack thing happened. And in that instant, I realized I actually need one of these.
Right.
That's the Mac I need for when I'm traveling, right there.
Yeah. It totally, you know, and I don't think it's out yet. I think it's coming, you know, in the next.
How does 20,000 milliamp hours compare to the battery in the MacBook?
I need to clarify this. The battery that they were showing me, I think, was somewhere between 10 and 20,000. And they said that whatever the size it was about the same size as the 20,000 milliamp hour battery that I carry with me. And the one I have happens to be I think of the name of it. Oh, it's right here. But anyway, I'll come up with it. So I don't know how big their battery was, but they said it would give it a full charge.
Cool.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And I'm looking at the time. We're out of time, guys.
Oh, no.
I know. So
I had more stuff.
Well, okay. John, you didn't get to tell us what stood out to you from an outsider. So share that, and then we'll wrap up the show.
Well, I was particularly interested in robots and the Aldebaran Pepper, which it looks Japan-focused, but I'm going to find out if it's going to be available in the U.S. And as I had been predicting, the TV industry is starting to coalesce around the HDR standards, and the UHD Alliance has got some pull with their logo and the Ultra HD Premium logo to help customers identify that they've got the right HDR TV rather than something that's not fully the best they could buy. So those are the two things that I was interested in.
And it looked like robotics and HDTV were big things at the show this year, which isn't a surprise.
Yep, those are my interests. Cars, robots, and HDTVs, 4K TVs.
Awesome. All right. There's so much more we could talk about today. But hey, there's the rest of the week. So we will talk about more through the rest of the week. Casper, thank you for being the sponsor today. Head over to their website and get yourself an amazing mattress. I don't say that because they are sponsoring the show. I say that because my Casper mattress is amazing. You need to go get one. So head over to their website, casper.com/TDO, and then use the discount code TDO and get yourself $50 off a killer mattress, and they ship it right to your door for free. You don't even have to go to the store. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. Dave, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. And John, thank you for being here.
By your command.
yeah. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.